welcome to our weekly call. This is Kurt Mortensen as we dive into persuasion, negotiation, and influence. We want to make sure you stay on track as far as the exact things you need to be doing as far as making this year, this 2013 your year. And part of that, big part of that, of course, is going to be persuasion and influence. Successful people have learned how to do that skill. So we're going to spend a few minutes together talking about a few tools, give you some homework, take your questions, and send you on your way. We've been getting into the laws of persuasion, and we've been focusing on those over the week. We kind of got into balance the last couple of weeks, and now I want to focus on a different law that's in your Magnetic Persuasion series called the Law of Expectations, because what we tend to expect happens, whether it be mentally or physically even. We've seen amazing things happen. Let me give you a few examples as we talk about this. Studies show that if you hand somebody a pen with the contract to sign, they're more likely to sign it because the expectation that they're going to sign it. If I'm going door-to-door sales or trying to go see somebody and I'm wiping my feet on the doormat, they're more likely to let me in. And that's the kind of the premise between the law of expectations is what we expect with confidence, it tends to happen. Now, we communicate our expectations through our body language, through our vocal tones, through the words that we use. That's expectation. It drives me nuts when I see a salesperson shake their head no and say, "You wouldn't be interested, would you?" Well, of course they wouldn't be interested, but I see that way too many times. Versus the whole process, you're going to assume that they want to do what you want them to do. That is expectation. And we can go through a variety of different things. If you ever studied NLP, it's NLP, that stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, deals a lot with different types of expectations, and we'll talk about a few of those today, that cause people to be more influenced. Now, the big part of NLP, and the one reason NLP works so well, neuro-linguistic programming, is it does change the expectation of the persuader. One of the latest studies I read talked about the confidence of the persuader. I'm not talking about cockiness or arrogance. I'm just talking about just confidence, and that's a whole other lesson. But the more influential you feel, the easier it is to influence people. That's part of your expectation. You expect to influence others. You expect to be highly influential. Changes your demeanor, your mannerisms, your body language. So your confidence in that presentation, whether it's over the phone or face-to-face, is a big part of your success, a big part of the expectations. If you don't expect anybody to be influenced, if you don't expect anybody to buy, if you don't expect anybody to listen, ding, ding, there's your reward. That's what's going to happen, whether it's the presentation or face-to-face. And so part of this is you on the inside, your expectations, and the expectations that you create. One form of NLP is called the embedded command, which kind of bypasses the logical mind and goes right to the subconscious mind. It's called embedded command. Probably the most popular example is have a Pepsi day, with the embedded command being have a Pepsi. And you'll see this all the time. Another embedded command, you hear this on infomercials where they say, "Buy now," you realize the embedded command is buy now, buy it right now. And we have to be careful even with kids. What are embedded commands? Don't walk in the street. Embedded command, walk in the street. Don't run. Embedded command is run. Don't be stupid. Embedded command being stupid. So instead of saying, "Don't walk in the street," as parents, we should say, "Stay on the sidewalk. Be safe. Be smart." And that makes a huge difference in what's embedded in their brain. And you can get a list of words of magnetic persuasion of different embedded commands. But it's also not only verbal, but it's also written. If you go to a good sales page on the internet, you'll probably notice that sometimes they'll bold a word, italicize a word, change the color of a word. That's an embedded command. It kind of hops out more to the subconscious mind than the conscious mind to the words that make sense. It might be become wealthy or those type of things where they just really want those to embed in their brains. That's your focus. That's an embedded command. And, again, how you talk. The other form of NLP, which is part of expectations, is called the presupposition. Basically, you are presupposing what you want to happen. Now, this is important whether you are doing an email or sales copy or face-to-face or doing a presentation. You're talking like it's already happened. You're presupposing they've already accepted your offer. You're talking and helping them visualize mentally that they're using your product or service. You have given them a solution to their problem. Real estate agents will do this mentally, where they'll bring someone to a home and say, okay, where are you going to put the grand piano? Where's the playset going to go? Hey, kids, why don't you go choose your room? Presupposing that it's already happened. They're going to introduce them to the neighbors. They're just all the actions and mannerisms and talks like it's a done deal. And it definitely makes a difference. You've gone to stores before where you feel guilty for not buying. There was an expectation that you're going to buy. Something happened where you felt guilty for not buying. You might say, you're going to love how this car handles in the mountains. Okay? What the salesperson says. What is that? What's the presupposition? They've already bought it. They're in the mountains. They're driving. You're going to love how this computer, you're going to love how this program, and you're building that picture. So when you can talk in presuppositions, then what that allows you to do is help build them mentally. They can see themselves doing it. It makes it easier for them to purchase your product or service. That's called presupposition. So in your language and your mannerisms and your demeanor and your word choice, you want to presuppose that it's a done deal. They're going to do it. And that's a powerful form of expectations. Another form of expectations, and also part of NLP, is called pacing and leading. Let me talk about that a little bit. Basically, throughout a sales copy or a presentation, you want to pace the people. You want to get them to say yes. It's basically three truths, three things you know they're going to believe. And then you're going to lead on with something that you want them to accept. Do you want to be healthy? Well, yeah. Do you want to have more energy? Well, yeah. Do you want to sleep better at night? Well, yeah. Then you need to take a multivitamin, or you need to drink this, or you need to do this, or you need to exercise more would be the lead, because that's leading with the expectations. We know in persuasion, the more yeses you can get, the more persuasive you are. You never, never want to get the no. That hurts persuasion. Now, sometimes you will. You can't stop it all the time. But here's something that will really help with the expectations of the person you're talking to, whether it's a coworker or somebody that you're attempting to persuade. Let's say you're sensing they're going to say no. Everything you tried hasn't worked. And you need to regroup and rethink and re-strategize. The key factor here is you do not want to get the no. Because if they say no, it's done in their mind. They have said no. So don't get the no. It's true with teenagers, too. Don't get the no. So you sense it coming. You'll say, well, tell you what. Let me put some things together. Let's go through it. I want to do this and this. I want to prove this and this to you. Let's get back in next week or next month, and we'll reconvene it. And they say, okay, they didn't have to say no, but they didn't stand their ground, they didn't say no. That makes a big difference in your ability to persuade them later on. Because if you get a no and try to persuade her later on, it's much more difficult than to get a maybe or okay or let's talk about it later and then try to persuade them later on. All right, that's part of the law of expectations. I mean, that's how our brain is so powerful. Among the expectations, you probably heard of placebos, a sugar pill. When they do pharmaceutical-type studies, they give sugar pills, and a lot of times sugar pills will work just as effective or more effective than the actual pill itself. That's how powerful the brain is. There's something about that expectation. And if you ever read Think and Grow Rich, the expectation of wealth, the expectation of success, is part of it. You talk to athletes, that expectation to win is a big piece of their ability to win. I remember sitting on was on the couch watching TV, and I was kind of rubbing my temples. My wife saw, what's wrong? I said, you know, I got a headache. She said, let me get you some aspirin. I'm like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. And she came down, gave me two white pills, and my headache went away. Went upstairs later on, looked at this bottle of pills on the counter, and it was a bottle of laxatives. Okay. Now my headache came back, and other things started to happen, and I still don't know if it was on purpose or accident. They did look like aspirin, but that's the power of our brain. That's the power of subliminal expectations. Placebos will work. On average, say 30 to 50% of the time. It's very powerful, and the expectations of our mind. And it was interesting during the Korean War, they ran out of morphine, right? And they wanted to take care of these soldiers, but they didn't have any morphine, so they were instructed to give a placebo. So doctors decided to give a placebo. And what was interesting is when the nurse administered this placebo, this shot, the soldiers felt better. They felt a lot better. But when the doctor gave this shot, the soldiers felt a lot of pain. Now, they're like, well, what's going on with that? Well, the doctors knew. And we pick up in expressions and mannerisms. They knew it was a lie versus the nurses did not know it was a placebo. So expectations is powerful. You need to expect with confidence that you're going to be influential in your mannerisms and the way you talk and your presuppositions. It works, especially with children. I mean, study after study shows the power of expectations. You can take two school teachers of equal talent, put them in classrooms of equal IQ, and one teacher you say, hey, you know, these kids are bright, just run with them, they're incredible. And the other teacher say, well, yeah, you know, they're not that bright, just do what you can. All right? Two very, very different expectations. And what happens? Well, of course, what happens is, based on the expectations, is the bright class did really well, learned a lot, and the not-so-bright class, so the teacher thought, even though they were equal, did not learn as much. Another example of children. So fifth-grade class, they hand out candy with wrappers. They unwrap the candy, and a lot of these kids will throw the wrapper on the floor. That's just what they do. That's what kids do. And so they counted the wrappers, didn't say anything. But over the next couple of weeks, the teacher said, adjusting expectations, you know, I think this is the cleanest class I've ever had. Yeah, it's the cleanest class I've ever had. Custodian writes on the chalkboard, thanks for being a clean class. Thanks for making my job easier. Vice principal comes in. Hey, I heard you guys are the clean class. All right, very simple. Very simple. You know, they hand out the candy again. Dramatic decrease in the amount of wrappers that are on the floor. So part of that is based on the expectations. And here's an interesting one that was done at Harvard with rats. You know, they always put rats in mazes for some reason. They time them. So they took these rats, and they told the students, okay, half the students got a smart rat, and half the students got a dumb rat. Okay? The rats. All the same rats. They're rats. They're all dumb. But anyway, well, some say rats are smart. But anyway, what happened is the students that thought they had the smart rats, even though it was the same maze, they were faster for some reason. And that was all based on expectations, whether it's children in grades, whether it's coworkers and setting goals, that is expectations. And that's part of it. With expectations, you need to learn how to set your own goals, set those expectations, and, of course, make sure with people that you're working with that you're setting goals that are realistic, that set those expectations. Because one thing that can backfire with expectations, when your expectation is way too high or unrealistic or doesn't make any sense, then it will backfire on you because they can't see themselves doing it. And that's, you know, the power of expectations and how it comes together and how it works. So you need to think through your presentations. Or, you know, what are you expecting? Are people expected to be persuaded? Are they expecting to buy? Are they expecting to do it? That's something that you need to adjust. I mean, expectations can be a variety of different things from, you know, when they come into your office. Do they What are they expecting to see? You know, a messy office does decrease credibility. What is their expectation when they come to your website? See, certain industries, certain professions have certain expectations. And you need to be able to monitor those. I was working with a chiropractor. She decided to move her chiropractic clinic into her home. Right? Into her home. But you know when people come over and sit in the living room and they go down the hallway past all the bedrooms into another bedroom, that doesn't actually meet their expectations very well. And we had to change that up. Your expectation when you go to the hospital, if it's painted black, that would probably bother you. That doesn't fit your expectations. If you went into a doctor's office and had instead of a fish tank, you had an aquarium of scorpions, that would not sit well with you. You know, when you go into a CEO's office, you expect certain things. When you go to a antique store, you don't want antique store owners, they do not want it to be clean. It's a treasure hunt. They want to find things. They want to they keep it messy on purpose. When you go into a law office, you want to see the dark books, not the dark books, the dark wood and the books. I mean, that's what you expect. But most of these new law offices, the books are fake. They are. They're fake because everything's online now. They don't need books. But that's the expectations. So it could be a color choice. It could be surroundings. And I always encourage people, because when you go to a workplace every day, you see the same things. You don't see it anymore. Record it. Look at it later. Have somebody else look at it. I was doing that for a martial arts studio and, you know, just walking in and the outside and the way the bushes were and the trash, and they'd come in and the weight room for some reason was painted pink, and there's just a variety of things that people don't think about but subconsciously bring out the wrong message. So that's what I want you to do, is think about two things this week. Your expectations. When you get on the phone with someone, when you talk to somebody, when you're working with someone, when you're in a meeting with someone, what are your expectations? What are you manifesting? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? What do you want them to think and feel? That's part of those expectations. Okay? That's part of those expectations. Then, of course, what expectations you want to create. And so I would work on not only that with your demeanor and your mannerisms, but also work on your presuppositions. Now, an interesting thing about mannerisms, before we get that review presuppositions, is here's a big complaint. So you're talking to somebody. It could be over the phone or face-to-face. You're doing the people skills. You're chatting, a little enthusiasm, a little humor, and you're talking. And then when you get to that call to action, when you get to the close, all of a sudden your demeanor changes, you're a little more serious, you're not sure, and you freak them out. Wait, well, this is a new person. Why are they serious? And you're getting all nervous because this is the time to ask for money, time to ask for their business, but the reality is you've been persuading the whole time, and that shift kind of confuses themselves or it changes your demeanor, so your overall expressions, you're persuading the whole time. You should be excited about the call to action. You should not beat around the bush. It should not surprise them what you're asking them to do. Because, ladies, I know that you probably had somebody come to ask you out. You know they're going to ask you out. They're talking about the weather and the sports. And after 20 minutes, you're like, yeah, whatever, because they didn't get to the point. So it doesn't take a long time to do it, but you need to get to the point. Don't change your demeanor. That second one is the presupposition. When you're writing an email, even a simple thing, now don't abuse this, a simple thing by saying thanks in advance. That's assuming they're going to do it. Now, if you abused it and did it every time, it wouldn't have the effect. But every once in a while, if you need it, thanks in advance. Thanks in advance. Thanks in advance. When you're writing emails or anything on the internet or talking to people, make sure you talk. It's a done deal, they're enjoying the benefits, they're feeling healthier, they're making more money, they're doing, and you feel the benefit, that makes a big difference in your ability to persuade them. So that is the key for the week. So with that, are there any questions, are there any comments about what we talked about today? One about NLP, giving the definition of neuro-linguistic programming. And that was made famous Grandler, or not, Grindler and Bandler are the two names if you want to know. Tony Robbins does a watered-down version, talks a lot about it, too. But he won't, I mean, you can Google that. The thing to watch out for, there's some really wacky, well, I don't want to say wacky, really different stuff that some people are teaching. And some of it's good. I try to teach the stuff that I can prove scientifically. I do teach the stuff that I can prove scientifically that works. And that would be something to take a look at. Again, that's neuro-linguistic programming. That's embedded commands, presuppositions, pacing and leading, using binds, which would be, do you want it in green or yellow? Would presuppose they're going to buy it. Do you want it shipped on Tuesday or Friday? It's also called the alternative close. So those are the two that you could do. Any other questions? Well, what you want to do, the question being with expectations, I mentioned earlier that when you feel influential, you are more influential. And the best way to fix that is through preparation. When you're prepared, it reduces your fear, number one. And number two, visualize it. For example, public speakers. It's interesting, as I train people to do public speaking, what their default setting is all the negative. What if they don't listen? What if I'm boring? What if I forget what I'm saying? And that's negative programming, and that really pulls people down. An Olympic athlete would never do that. A professional athlete would never do that. And the same thing true with any persuader. You think what's going to happen. You visualize the best. They're listening. They're laughing. They're saying yes. They're giving you the credit card. They're doing it. That makes a huge difference. And you have to have the ability to do that relatively quickly sometimes. If you get beat up in one appointment, you have to quickly get back into speed. But it's important to have that confidence. Any other questions? All right. Well, we'll post the replay at ywhypersuasion.com. Those that are listening via the net or Skype or some other ones, you can also have any other questions about the call. Send those through there. More than happy to take those. And then give us about 24 hours to post those. And if there's other things you want to talk about or other resources to listen to about NLP or law of expectations, I'm more than happy to answer those anytime. So with that, everyone, have an incredible week, and we'll talk to you next week.